the passage of the New Covenant in Jeremiah, and it's what Robert was talking about. And I don't want to preach a sermon, but just to give a little teaching here related precisely to what Robert was saying. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. Now here he's not talking about Abraham, because that covenant was eternal, but he's talking about Moses when he says the fathers. He's talking about the covenant that he made with Moses. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. In other words, I had a personal, intimate relationship with them, but they broke it. They didn't enter into that relationship. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, after that, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. I wrote it on tables of stone. I taught it to them line upon line, precept upon precept, but they didn't learn it. So now I'm going to put it in their inward parts. I'm going to fasten it into their inner being. And I'm going to write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now the old covenant was this: obey, do it. But the new covenant was something even greater. I'm not going to ask you to obey anymore because you don't know how to do it. So I'm just going to make you obey. How? By giving you a new heart. And this new heart will just want to obey. Now that is the new covenant. That's a matter not for obedience, but for belief. Do you believe that you are a new creature? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus not only forgives sins, but has actually given you a new heart, that all by the blood, has given you access to that Lord so that you can accomplish all the things that need to be accomplished, but even more, much more, much more. And listen, 34, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. That's what Moses did. That's what all moral people do. That's what all religious people do. They train the little children. They go through all kinds of training and teaching and so on. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. You can almost hear the encouragement there. Oh, come on, know the Lord. Come and know the Lord. You need to know the Lord. Because he said it didn't work. It doesn't work under the old covenant. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It doesn't do any good to keep telling people, know the Lord. They don't. And they can serve Him, they can work for Him, they can do all kinds of things, be religious, as Robert was saying. But unless you know Him. So that's what I want to teach on, this. No more will every man teach his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know Me. That is, everyone who's born again, everyone who has this new heart that I write on them, they will all know Me, even from the least of them. That means both in size, but also in terms of chronology. In other words, the newest Christian to the Christian that's 100 years down the road, the youngest Christian, the oldest Christian. It doesn't make any difference. They shall all know Me from the least to the greatest. Every single Christian will know Me. That's all. It isn't how mature you are. It's whether you know the Lord. That's what Robert was sharing tonight, and it's so perfect with what the Lord put on my heart. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And the Lord then goes on. Now, here's the teaching. First of all, new birth. That's where it all begins. That is a matter of the soul. That's not the soul, but a matter of the spirit. Can you all see that? There's a light reflect? I don't know how the light looks. That's a matter of the spirit. When you become a Christian, spirit means the same thing as heart in the scriptures. You get a new heart, a new spirit, or a new nature. All those mean the same thing: heart, spirit, nature. This is who you are, who I am. That's the new covenant. The new covenant then starts us out on the right basis. That's the base. What for? That you might know the Lord in order to make Him known. Now that's it in a nutshell. That's the whole thing. You've been born again to know the Lord, to make Him known. This is a matter here of obedience. When you move directly from new birth to obedience, you have legalism. When you move from new birth to obedience, you have legalism, religion, morality. That is, you do God's thing in the power of the flesh. Even though you're born again, even though you have a new heart, you are trying to do what you cannot do, because the flesh cannot work the works of God. And therefore, the secret is not in the body. And the secret is not in the spirit, although without the spirit you can't do it. This is an absolute beginning point. But the secret of growth is in the soul, and that does not take place. You cannot be a disciple by obedience. A disciple is one who knows the Lord. It's a personal relationship, beholding. As the scripture that he quoted was 2 Corinthians 3:18, you are changed from one degree of glory to another by beholding, not by obeying. When you look at the Lord, now that you've been born again, this is who you are. But that doesn't mean anything. You can be born again and still live a carnal life. Amen? Sin still lives among the Christians. So the question is, how then do you grow? This does not make you grow. Just to be born again does not produce growth. You can produce a false growth. That's legalism. This is having a false fruit like Judas. False-looking fruit. Nicodemus. All kinds of people. That's religion. You can be born again even. Judas was not. Nicodemus was not. But you could be born again and still be religious. That is, in your behavior. And you know what he says? He says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You didn't know me." You really don't even know what God wants until you know Him. You think you know. People think they know what God wants, but you can't. There's no way you can know until you come to know Him. That's what God wants. God wants that intimate relationship. When you enter into that, then everything comes from that. So people are constantly saying, "Well, I want to do the will of God. I want to follow God." But you can't until you learn to hear Him. And you can't until you come to know Him. Until you enter into that intimate relationship. So the blood purchased for me this ability to know the Lord, so that I could then produce fruit. This is righteousness here. God wants you to be righteous before He wants you to bear fruit. He wants to cleanse the vessel. You have a new heart, but you need a new mind. You need a new will. You need a new emotions. You see, many Christians don't want God's will. You need a new will. You have it by faith, but you need to have it in experience. And when you have a dividing in your will, in other words, I want to go to church, but I also want to stay home, or I want to serve the Lord with all my heart, but I also don't want to, there's a problem. And you don't get that by going to church or doing whatever's right. That could be just legalism. You do it by coming before Him and beholding Him. Now that's who you are. You are one who beholds the Lord. The reason that He brought them out of Egypt, the reason that He brought them into a new life, so they could worship Him, so they could know Him. So that's the whole purpose of our being together. So this meal tonight is symbolic of the fact that God wants to open up His heart to us. He doesn't want you just to do a meal. It's a check it off. I did it, you know. What, you know, we could punch tickets here, you know. What He wants is He wants us to come forward and to come to know Him. You can't produce that mechanically. It's just something you believe. It's an eye-opening thing of just coming to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we've talked about it in a million ways, but it's a personal relationship with the Lord. And it's so sweet, and that's why we've come, because what He's doing in this meal is saying, I want all my friends to come to this meal. Whosoever will may come. In other words, anyone may come to this meal. The only prerequisite is being born again. There's no other prerequisite. None. He just simply wants you to come. Now, if a man is bound in sin, you still can come. That's not a problem. It's the only problem there is just to know that God has set up this very meal for friends, for forgiveness, because as we partake of the blood, it's for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me, for the forgiveness of sins. That's what it's for. So it isn't like you have to go and get rid of your sins first. No, just now, just say, Lord, forgive me. That's it. It's just like that. By coming forward and declaring that, in a way, is coming to the table, we declare that we want to know Him, and that means, first of all, know Him as light, to put away all sin, know Him as the Lamb who forgives and is merciful to us, know Him as Lord who empowers us, enables us to do all the works of God, to know Him in every way, to know Him primarily as your beloved. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. And He's just calling His family together. Come on, I want to eat with my family. I like to have my whole family at the table when I eat. I like to have all the children. I don't just eat without the children. I make sure they're all there. And God's the same way. He wants His whole family gathered about the table. And it's a declaration to the whole world that God has made friends. So when you come to the Lord's table, it's a declaration that God is saying to you, whosoever will may come, this is for my family, and that you're saying to God, we're yielding our lives as He yield His life, just to behold Him, just to know Him, just to come to know the Lord better. Remember it says in the Bible, they knew Him in the breaking of the bread. Remember that? Because they saw that He was pure, and they saw that He was merciful, and they saw that He was almighty, and they saw that He was the beloved. That's where you see the Lord. The whole gospel is in the communion. The whole gospel is there, because it's the blood covenant. It's the blood of Jesus which reconciles. It's the blood of Jesus that reconciles so that we could know Him. Know Him so that we can make Him known. Eating of this meal is to empower us, to enable us to go forth and show the power of the life of Jesus Christ. So discipleship is not obedience. Discipleship is for those that are born again, who've come to know Him. That's all it is. And they will be obedient. But it's not a work. It's a rested thing. You know, that's why they had to go out of Egypt. Because you can't enjoy a meal when enemies are all around. You know, you don't have a banquet until the battle's over. But when you're relaxed like we are, then in the midst of this world, we can take time out and relax. Why? Because the battle's over. It's already been won. We were already eating in anticipation of the visible fact that the war is over. Now, we haven't seen it. It looks like the war is still raging. So we take aside these moments in the midst of a world and in the midst of lives that are all turmoil, and we just say, praise the Lord. That's why we celebrate already. It's a foretaste of heaven. This is our family. Look around. They don't look too saintly, you know, but these are the saints. These are the saints of God. These are the saints that come to the meal. You don't have to judge. It doesn't make any difference. God will judge. But these are the saints. These are the glorious saints. Some are very immature. Some are very mature. Some are very proud of their maturity and so on. And all kinds of things. Doesn't matter. They're family. Every family has all kinds of individuals in it, you know.
how beautiful this people is, how beautiful the King is. We've come to worship you. We've come to know you, that we might make you known in all the fullness, in the glory of God. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.